Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, I'm just checking some things on the X, formerly Twitter, and I have to tell you, we're going to tick off a few things here before Sue's news that I wanted to cover. This is actual audio of me this morning. I have to share this. When I found out that Jim Acosta no longer had a job, I broke down. I really did. I broke down in tears, just like Selena Gomez did. How about that?
I just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked.
She's getting roasted over this. She's crying over deportations of people who might get caught up in the illegal migrants or the criminals, but not trying to have no empathy here, but good Lord, how about focus on what's really happening in this country? And the majority of the country knows that we've been invaded, and some of these folks need to go back. So quit crying like a big baby Selena Gomez. But I did feel that way when I found out Acosta was out at CNN, and I would say good riddance. A story that I want to give more attention to a little bit later, but I wanted to mention it here is, and I guess there was a tweet. I don't follow Megan Green, who is the president of the Board of Aldermen, because she's a communist, but I did look at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today, and there was a story about the AT&T building. Sue, did you see this?
No, okay. I didn't.
So what we know is that that thing cost how much to make?
You know, gazillion?
Yeah, $600 million or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was $300 million. Somebody bought it for $3 million. Now, Rainford told me this a while back because he had met this guy, the developer, and Megan's tweet last week, and they did this follow-up story in the Post today, was about the AT&T building, because the developer is outlining the plans for that building. Charles Goldman is his name. And Megan said, in the heart of downtown, the largest building in Missouri and awaiting its next chapter, the AT&T building may be vacant, but it's in good hands. And she's promoting, you know, the fact that Charles has this vision here. And what she said was, she said, yesterday I had the opportunity to tour the iconic building with its current owner. I'm looking forward to his vision. And remember, she said the AT&T building might be vacant, but it's in good hands. The bad news I have for Megan Green is the downtown area of St. Louis is not in good hands, because it's in your hands, Megan Green. It's in Tish's hands. And I think certainly can be proven wrong. It's happened before. But this developer is smoking some really good weed or something. If he thinks he's going to fill 600 apartments in the heart of downtown.
Why?
I'm going to bet against that deal coming. Are you kidding me? Now, you have one Schnucks across, you know, the way. You do, and that's a pretty good Schnucks, the one that's across from the post office. But there's no other grocery stores. There's no gas stations in downtown. There's nothing else. Why would someone move to the heart of downtown?
Because it's a city. And you can walk to the arch, you can walk to a ball game, you can walk to anything. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Have you walked around that particular area? Because it's crime-ridden. Look, I'm not talking about the whole city here. We know that there are good areas of the city, but this is between where we sit right now and the arch. And that is not an area that anybody should be living in right now, currently, in downtown St. Louis. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I really like that park that's there, and they're having a new restaurant through there. I disagree.
Well, you can move into downtown, but if you value your life, I just don't think it's a good move. I think it's insane. I really do. I don't know what the guy's thinking. Randy Naughton retweeted this today, and I had to give it some attention. It's the 30th birthday of the Enterprise Center.
Oh, I didn't know that.
30th anniversary. It wasn't the big deal when that thing opened was the purple seats, right? Everyone was like, hey, what happened to the purple
seats? Yes, it was.
Let's see. I'm kind of going down my Twitter feed today because I've had a fair amount of activity on Twitter, and I wanted to share some of these things like this right here. Last week, I actually played this song as a bump. This is Dave Matthews Band in Gray Street. And every once in a while, and I do have people that respond to the bumper music, and I appreciate that, but there's a listener named Chris out there that asked the question, why in the hell does Dave Matthews Band not come to St. Louis? Well, we've guilted them into it because DMB announced the 25 summer tour, and they're coming to St. Louis to the amphitheater on a Saturday night in June. It's June 14th. It should be a great show. I've arguably seen Dave Matthews more than any other artist except for Springsteen and Cheap Trick because my wife loves DMB and their amazing band live. There's no doubt about that. I could just watch Carter, their drummer. I'll watch him for 3 hours play music because it's amazing. On the musical front, let's do something here because another one of the shows that's coming to the amphitheater is Simple Minds. And we have tickets to give away. The tickets for the show go on sale this Friday. But if you'd like a pair of tickets right now, we got tickets every day to see Simple Minds at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on June 5th. This is a couple of weeks before
that is going to be a show. Good show.
So if your call number 5 right now, 241-9797, call number 5 is a winner. There you go. Did I have anything else that I wanted to talk about here? Oh, yeah, this is another. This was a tweet from Libs of TikTok that I retweeted today. Breaking. Oklahoma Board of Education voted to approve a proposal requiring parents to provide proof of citizenship when enrolling their child in public schools. Well, people will complain about that. That seems to make common sense. I guess I would ask the question, why didn't we require that in the first place?
Good question.
Right, it is a good question. And then I have to, let's see here. This is unreal. Now, some of these things that I talk about, I really question whether or not they can be real. Apparently, this one is real. Did you hear what Anthony Mackie said? He's the new Captain America?
No.
Okay.
I'm
calling.
Oh, no.
Honestly, I'm calling for the Bud Light treatment. Listen to this.
Me, Captain America represents.
Oh, wait, hang on. The question here was, what does Captain America represent? Okay. So that he's on a press junket. He's answering these questions. What does Captain America, the keyword America, represent?
For me, Captain America represents a lot of different things. And I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations.
What?
Like, it's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, and integrity. Someone who is trustworthy.
I honestly thought it was AI. I thought AI. There's no way that the dude that's playing Captain America can say, let's listen to that again, ladies and gentlemen, really.
Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those.
F you, Anthony Mackie, and F you, Disney, and I'm not going to see that movie, and I hope that it fails miserably, because that is disgusting. It really is. And that's, by the way, it's interesting to me that Anthony Mackie made those comments, because he's taking this role over, because they got to be woke and have a black Captain America, from Chris Evans, who is probably the most woke Hollywood actor out there. So those two are quite the tandem. That's disgusting.
Wow.
It is revolting that he said that. And I wish I could say the real F word, because that's how I feel right now. But Fred would yell at me and I'd have to
hit the dump
myself all that stuff. So I won't do that right now.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I take you back in time, Fred, 147 years ago, when in 1878, the first telephone switchboard went online in New Haven, Connecticut, now the pizza capital of the world. There were 21 subscribers and one operator who answered the phone with, "Ahoy, ahoy," and then put the caller on hold. What is that about? Why ahoy, ahoy, Mark Reardon?
That's interesting. I don't know. Was there a ship involved?
Was that a thing? I don't think. There were only 21 people on there. Huh. And so, of course, she answered, ahoy, ahoy, like you do.
But, you know, we'll never probably have this, but think back, how many years ago?
147.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, to literally have a documentary? You always highlight these things that are very interesting to everyone. But it would be very interesting to have, and again, can't make it because we don't have the video, a documentary of how telephones exploded and took off and how the lines were laid and all these things across the country.
That's a great plan.
You can write a book about that, and I'm sure there have been, but that's fascinating.
There's
right?
that great telephone museum at Jefferson Barracks.
Yeah, there is.
That
I've
has
not been
all
there.
All sorts of historic.
Look at that. I didn't know about that.
Historic telephones there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great.
How did I not know about that? See, this is great because there are things in our own backyard that sometimes we don't, you know, we underuse, and that would be one of them.
I bike past there and I say, ooh, I'm going to have to go in, and I never have. That sounds good. Oh, and 43 years ago, I'm just throwing this in. In 1982, Rhea Perlman married Danny DeVito. This is their, would have been their 43rd anniversary. They seemed like an unbreakable Hollywood couple. They split up in 2013 and again in 2017, but remain close friends.
Danny DeVito, man, he's killing it on the
Philadelphia
commercials for, what is it? It's the it's the sandwich chain, right?
Is it Jimmy John's?
No, it's not Jimmy John's. See, we should know that. I say he's killing it, but nobody knows the
Dang it, what is it?
God darn it.
Oh, somebody tell us on the feed.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and there's one in Fenton now that I've been wanting to try.
Oh, come on. It's
I'll pull it up. Everybody's yelling at the radio right now.
I know. I'm sorry about that. All right. What were people streaming in 2024?
Jersey Mike.
Jersey Mike.
That's what they were streaming.
You.
Jersey Mike's. There's one that's sitting right across from where Wally's is in Fenton.
Oh, on the other side.
Yeah, and I've, you know.
I've not been there.
I think that's what that is. I could be making that up, too.
But I do like
Jersey Mike's.
What were you going to say, Fred?
No, I agree.
I would like to try one. Maybe they'll have I'm sure they've got all different.
Now I'm second guessing whether that's a Jersey Mike's because I've never been there, but I do like Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
There you go.
Canadian bacon. Maybe they have one with Canadian bacon for Fred.
Bacon. What? Just plain bacon.
That's much better. So what were we streaming in 2024? Well, it turns out it was a lot of older shows. The 10 most streamed shows of the year are what the industry calls the library series. In other words, shows that streamers picked up from other sources. And the biggest one of them all, well, I'll get to that. Number five, NCIS. That's on Netflix, Hulu, Paramount. 35.91 billion minutes of viewing that.
Jeez.
But does that count every franchise? Because there's about 50 of them, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think this is the original. Okay. Otherwise, it would have words after it. My personal favorite... Bob's Burgers on Hulu, 36.8. That show is awesome. Number three, Family Guy on Hulu with 42.44 billion minutes. Number two, Grey's Anatomy, 47.85 billion minutes. Number one, Bluey on Disney Plus.
Believe that. Look, there's been a fair amount of Bluey in my house with the grandbaby here in the last week, so I'm gonna rate that as true.
That's the Australian kitty show about a blue heeler puppy. That streamed more than anything. In fact, kids' stuff dominated when it came to movie streaming, capturing the entire top five. That was Minions at five, Trolls Band Together, Red One at three, number two was Super Mario Brothers, and number one, Moana.
Red One is that's the rock movie. It was highly average, but still entertaining.
Was it?
And by the way, Bluey's very well done, and I will double down on Bob's Burger because that's one of those shows. Bob's Burgers is a show that I wish I watched more because every time I see it, it's very funny.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Fred, you got to get to it. It's hilarious. Oh, I love it so much.
Animated?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Coke is bringing out yet another new flavor. This time it's Coca-Cola Orange Cream, which of course tastes like Dreamsicle, which I think tastes like baby aspirin. But no one asked me. Perhaps it will be bigger than Coca-Cola Spiced. It will be out February 10th, and it will come in 0-2. Do you like orange cream, Fred?
No.
You don't either?
No.
Most people like it.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Second Wally's reference here in 3 minutes, but Lex and I like to go to the Wally's and get like the Dreamsicle, what do they call those things?
Like a sloopy?
Sloosh. I couldn't put the word together. This is what my brain is doing. It's a sloosh.
What?
That's what they call
sloosh?
It. It's like a slushy.
Like a
yeah, exactly. But they call it a
slushy. Slushy, but they're calling it a
sloosh.
What'd
you call
me?
That's what they call it.
Well, how dare you? I have a list of... Oh, here it is. Okay. There is a list out now looking at music t-shirts. In other words, the concert tees that you're going to buy. And they have looked at it sold on marketplace sites between December of 2023 and September of 2024. Now, there are top 10 artists who have the highest average resale value. This isn't when you go to the show and purchase the shirt. This is years later in resale. What are the top bands? Okay, number nine is Pearl Jam. If you buy a certain Pearl Jam shirt, it's $171. Kanye West at eight. Number seven is Paul McCartney, Green Day. Number six, Guns N' Roses at number five, Outkast at four. Here's where it makes me happy. Number three, these are top artists that have the highest average resale t-shirt value. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes!
I like
that. $235.
Whoa.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers, a t-shirt used, you know, if it's the right one, will be $241. Number one, we'll play a little music while we talk about what number one is, and this will give it away. It's Nirvana. If you buy a used, or, you know, just find one somewhere on the interwebs, average price, $279. I just think that's a lot. However, if you play the next piece of music, as far as specific T-shirts go, the Grateful Dead has a shirt that values up to $2,700. It's from 1994 and has a large Black Panther on the front. So if you go for that one, it's $2,700. Then a long sleeve Nirvana shirt from In Utero Tour that sells for $2,000, and a Bjork T-shirt from her post tour for $18.95. What is your? Do you have any? Are you a concert shirt buyer?
I have deep regrets that I don't have any of my shirts from the 80s, because my parents listening right now, they know this. Every show I went to, I bought a shirt, but they were all black. Every one of them was black T-shirts. It's very rare that you can find, in my opinion, a cool band shirt. They're cheap.
I agree.
The cotton doesn't really. And you know what? You know what they're charging for some of these?
Oh, it's
like
ridiculous.
$70 for T-shirts.
I've paid 80, I think, for a. A concert T-shirt.
I got 80. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
what,
got a U2
who?
Shirt.
It was
from
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott for that mm-hmm. much.
You know, Abby, our former associate assistant producer, bought a T-shirt at every concert
she
went to, and she was complaining about the prices of it.
Yeah,
my kids do that too. I mean, everyone likes the keepsake, but my advice to them would be keep those shirts when you think that you're done with them, and put them in a drawer somewhere in a bin, and maybe sell them in 30 years. Because honestly, some of the stuff people love the retro. I get it. And especially if they're cooler shirts with cooler bands.
Yeah. Eventually, Abby's collection will be worth something, I would assume. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact, and this is old. In 1893, a congressman proposed a constitutional amendment that would rename the country to the United States of Earth.
Really?
It did not pass.
I'm shocked
what?
By that,
I
right?
Know. I know.
That sounds like something like the new Captain America.
Outrage.
Anthony Mackie would do something ridiculous like that. Thank you, Sue. Sue's News for a Tuesday. In the books, our good friend Selena Zito is coming up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Michael Goodwin from the New York Post coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, she might be our favorite. Shh, don't tell Michael Goodwin or others. Favorite reporter, because she's been through so much and she wrote a great piece about her decade with Donald Trump. Selena Zito is back with us. She writes at selenazito.com. That piece was in the Free Press. Interesting journalistic news emerging today from the White House briefing room. But Selena, how are you? Good to have you back on.
Oh, thank you. I'm swell. Yeah, it's a pretty good primer for my book, don't you think?
Absolutely. The book is going to come out in the summer. It's going to be called Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. But I read this story that was in the Free Press the other day, and I want you to kind of share how you began that particular column, because you got a little Christmas gift, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. So I'm Italian. If any of your listeners are out there are Italian, there is this event called the Feast of the Seven Fish. And I am the one in the family that makes all the seven fish,
yes,
along with everything else.
We actually did talk about that before Christmas because I asked you about that. I remember. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm making it for 40 people in the, flour in my hair like crazy. And there is, comes, I hear a knock on the door and, I missed it. And I go run, I go down and see what who it was. It took me a minute. And there was a manila envelope from the office of the President of the United States, or the President-elect
right.
of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And inside it was this beautiful Christmas card addressed to me and my family. And it was signed with gold, I don't know, like some kind of gold ink, whatever, by President Trump, First Lady Melania, and Barron. And then inside it was an abbreviated, like something he cut out of the newspaper. Now, this is common that he has done with me and other journalists. He'll take a clip from a story and send it and let you know if you did a good or bad job.
Oh, interesting.
And I think he liked this one.
So then because you also talked about how you kind of coined this phrase, right? Or came up with it, or there's some origin story. The press takes him literally, but not seriously. His supporters take him seriously, but not literally. I love that quote.
Yeah, so that was actually initially said by my co-author in my first book, The Great Revolt, Brad Todd. And I had said it to him during an interview in Pittsburgh in 2016. And it sort of became this viral thing that a lot of people in the press used to explain the Trump phenomena because they couldn't understand why voters, you know, kind of took not everything so literally, not really comprehending that this is a guy who had been sort of in their lives since the 80s, right? You know, whether it was his books or as a New York developer or as, you know, the guy in the front lines when Atlantic City first got casinos or, you know, his TV shows or SNL, whatever. He was part of the culture. And they kind of knew this is kind of way he talked. And they didn't, it didn't make them a little bit mad, like crazy, but it certainly made the press crazy because they've never seen a presidential candidate talk that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I learned a little bit about you in that most recent column too, because I did not know, it makes sense though, when I think about that, you worked for Arlen Specter back in the day.
Oh yeah, way long time ago, young, very young. I will tell you this. I was the lowest constituent service staffer in the Pittsburgh office. And honestly, what you do is when people have problems with the VA or the military or their Social Security or Medicare, whatever the case may be, they go to their U.S. senator's office or their congressional office and ask for, you know, help me get through the bureaucracy. So that was my job. I learned more about the federal government than I had ever knew in my entire life. It was the best education I ever received.
That's amazing. Look at that. Now, that kind of leads me to the question about your relationship with Trump, because you admitted that you started getting curious about him even in the late 90s. You wrote The Great Revolt and you covered him, which is how we met. But I have to think that that relationship has really strengthened since the assassination attempt, since you were on the stage 4 feet away.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, and I wrote this, he got mad at me, also sent me a note. He put on Truth Social he was mad at me. But, you know, I had his lowest point happened between 2022 midterms and right before he went to East Palestine. People were kind of upset that they lost the midterms. They kind of blamed him because of the choices of the people he supported. I think Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania and Herschel Walker in Georgia, they didn't make it across the finish line and they wanted to win. And come February, early February of 2023, he was at the lowest point he was ever in the polls, and he was and he and Ron DeSantis were, you know, DeSantis had come up and was ahead of him a little bit or right behind him.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember exactly. But then he made that decision that incredibly brilliant decision to show up in East Palestine. I mean, and I was there. I stayed back because I knew he was mad at me, but I was there. And I mean, he had galoshes on. It was an ugly gray Appalachian day, like rain and snow mix. There was all kinds of crap in the puddles. We didn't know what we were stepping in. People remember that's when that big train derailment happened, and then the subsequent controlled burn. We didn't know what chemicals we were inhaling or what we were stepping in. And he looked at those people and said, "I see you.
Yeah,
I'm not going to forget you."
Well,
and 1 week later, he went up in the polls, and he never looked back.
That's amazing, really. And you know, let's kind of frame this a little bit on what happened in the last 8 days, 9 days, and what happened last week. He goes to, I don't know who's running the show, Selena, you probably do, if it's Susie Wiles or a team of people. He goes to North Carolina to visit Hurricane Helene victims before he goes to California, which both are so impressive. I mean, this guy, and let me take you back because you know this. If you go back to that point after the midterms, there are a lot of people, even me, oh, it's time to move on. I had listeners, time to move on. Maybe DeSantis can do the same thing. There is nobody ever that could do what Trump has accomplished in the last week. I just don't think it's possible.
No, I don't think so either. He's the only person that can do this. You might not like him, or you might marginally like him, or you might marginally dislike him, but you cannot dispute that his first 1 week in office has been breathtaking in that he has lived up to every promise that he has made, and then some. And we're only 8 days in.
I know. So what did you think? Because I featured some of the audio from Carolyn earlier in the press briefing. That was pretty impressive. She's like the age, I don't want to insult my child, who's actually about to walk in with my grandchild, I think, Sue. There's some breaking news for you. But same age as my son. And she was very impressive, and they're making some changes in that press room, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I think Trump's secret sauce in this second administration is that he's picked people that are just wired different. They're just built different. And, you know, whatever you want to say about 2020, I am a person that has led my life to believe everything happens for a reason. And if we step back and look at it, even being reflective about our own lives, even when we lose something or we have a missed opportunity in our lives, oftentimes it happens that there was a reason for that, and we become better at whatever we do. I think that the past 4 years have maybe been a way to show that going far left is not where this country wants to go. And we saw the evidence and the consequences of that decision. And it made, I have argued since Biden won that it was a fluke. He was the fluke. 2016 Trump was not the fluke. We have and have always been a center-right country. And it was Biden's election that was the fluke, not Trump's in 2016, and certainly not in this year. And plus, think about this. Three very patriotic events are going to happen in the next 4 years. We're going to have the 250th yes. anniversary mm-hmm. of our country.
Yes.
We are going to have the Olympics. We are going to have the World Cup. No one likes to present with pageantry and celebration of the country more than Trump. I don't know if it would have been with the same tone and aspiration
no
under Harris.
No way. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, Selena, along those points, I raised the issue of the sesquicentennial, I can't even say the word, many times leading up to the election because I was horrified that team with Biden and Harris, or Harris, whoever would be there running the show next year, was horrifying to me. So that's a great point.
Selena, it's Sue. I've got a question. One of the things we've been talking about here is the fact that we have not heard anything about the guy who attempted to assassinate Trump, the one they killed, the one that you were present for. Nothing. It's like that story disappeared. Do we know anything?
We don't know anything. And I've been, you know, I mean, I live right here. I live, you know, not far from where he lived. In fact, in the my former house, the Crook house was maybe 3 miles from it. And we don't know anything. The family has lawyered up. And, you know, I peeled some things back in my book that you don't know. But, you know, that has been completely, completely shut down. Now, I suspect now that Trump is in office, that there's going to be a more thorough vetting, not just of the Secret Service, but also what happened with that young man. You know, if I look at his life from 30,000 feet, yes, he was quiet. Yes, he was awkward. But he also was a very smart young man. And you know, he had gotten himself, he worked his way through community college, got himself into Pitt, University of Pittsburgh, and seemed to be on a path for a good life. What happened to this young man? Why did this happen? A lot of that is in the book, you know, and it's really sort of jarring, though, that we don't have more information,
really
that we don't have access to his phone.
Selena Zito's book will come out in the summer. It's called Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. I'm also going to repost the piece that you wrote for the Free Press because I want people to see that. But always great to have you on. Thank you so much, Selena Zito.
Thanks so much for having me. And people can order now. You can pre-order. If you didn't do it, it'll be awesome.
I've already done it. I have pre-ordered the book. I really did. I did it a few weeks ago. Thanks, Selena.
Thanks,
we'll
guys. Have
ya.
A great evening.
Aw, we got Idris, my grandson, in the studio, Sue, and he looks a little nervous. I don't know if he's going to talk on the radio. This was a surprise visit, though, from Evan and Natalie, who are in town from Houston. They went down to the Arch today. They even went in the Arch. That's what you said, right?
Yeah, we went up. He loved the view. He was so nice going up the elevator, and then going down, he just wanted to go back up and throwing a fit the entire time. We're trying to enjoy the museum down at the bottom. He wants to go back up to the top.
Well, you can't really blame him for that, right? You
oh,
know what's
no.
funny is I think the last time I was up on the top of the Arch was probably like 1984. I'm not even making that up. When we first moved to St. Louis, Sue, in 1979, you'd have all these people that would come visit, right?
Right.
Oh, let's go to the Arch. And I went up in that damn thing so many times, and I never gone back up. I always recommend the museum,
really
though,
cool.
And the movie is really good
mm-hmm.
as well.
He is precious. Look how tall he is. They say grandpa is tall.
Yeah. Your grandpa, that would be your mom's dad, is pretty tall, but nothing from my side of the family is too tall that I'm aware of. But he's what, in like the 97th? Natalie's here as well. Natalie, I don't know if you want to talk on the radio, but he's like in the 97th percentile when it comes to weight, right? Or height, not weight.
Height. Yeah, he's only a little bit above 50% for weight. So, you know, not underweight or anything, but for height, he's 97th, 96th percentile constantly every time we go in. He's only 4 months old. We got him in 9-month clothes right now.
He's in size 2 diapers already. Evan's sister, Alexa, Auntie Alexa, probably didn't wear size 2 until she was 3, maybe.
Pretty much everything that we got from the baby showers, he's pretty much already outgrown.
Look at her, look at him that. Looking at you right now. Do we have this on the, Ethan, do we have it on the video right now for people to watch? If they want to check it out on YouTube or the Twitter feed. He's given googly eyes to Sue Thomas right now.
Well,
so he's
don't
a Sue Thomas
me. I'm making nice
fan.
Faces at him. Hi. Hi. He is so precious.
Yeah,
I was
he's
gonna say
pretty
sweet,
adorable.
Precious, all of it.
I don't know where, because Evan, no offense here, I don't know where he gets the good looks, but he's got huge eyes, right?
Yeah,
and
he does.
Big, big, lots of hair, although he's lost a little of the hair. Although the hair comes from me, I think that's something.
Oh, that definitely comes from me.
Yeah, I know. I need to take, well, like, I don't know about you and your nicknames, but when I was younger, I had my old college roommate at Mizzou, Brandon Perry, nicknamed me Link, as in the missing link.
Oh, they call me Legs.
Yeah, Legs, right. Yeah, you could take the winter coat off and probably still be very comfortable.
No,
that's hilarious.
I did not know they were coming downtown today, so you left my house yesterday and went to your mom's house, and you're going to hang there for a couple of days. We get you back on Thursday. So this was rather unplanned just because I didn't know they were going to be downtown.
I am so grateful. Thank you so much for stopping in. He could not be cuter.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you guys for coming in. What else are you doing today? Do you know?
Oh, probably just dinner and a movie. Gonna check out Juror Number 2.
It's pretty good. Do
That's
they still have that in
That's
the theaters?
I don't think so.
Okay,
anymore.
But you're gonna watch it on video. Yeah. So Evan, what's funny about that is, you know, I mentioned Gabriel Basso. Gabe Basso is in the he's in Juror Number 2, the Clint Eastwood movie. He's in the second season of what the hell is the show called on Netflix? Now I'm
I don't think I know.
But he's great. But Evan, you met Gabe like when he was you guys were both like 12 and 13 or 14 mm-hmm. years old out in Hollywood. I still have a picture. He was able to go to one of the movie junkets with me.
Oh, that's cool.
It was what was it like? Spy Kids 3?
It was no, by the same director as Spy Kids. It was Shorts.
Right, Robert Rodriguez, and Evan got to go and do all the interviews. Like you did an interview with James Spader and a couple other people.
Oh,
I don't even know if
really
you remember
cool.
that. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I went to see, it was the same weekend that Inglourious Basterds was also screening for the press. So I left him at the Four Seasons and went and saw Inglourious Basterds that night too.
Oh my gosh.
Which was really good.
The Night Agent is what you're trying
thank
to remember.
Sue, I was drawing a blank on The Night Agent season 2 with Gabe Basso. All right, Idris. Well, thank you for coming by and making
thank
your appearance.
You so
your first
much.
Radio appearance. It's a first media appearance, which is historic. And I'll see you guys a little later in the week. Look at him. He's very. He just loves Sue. But that's Ethan. You'd have to say that that's rather consistent. Everybody loves Sue, right?
Well, I don't
this is
know.
Accurate.
No, that's true. Because whenever I'm out somewhere, they don't want to meet me. Where's Sue?
No.
Where's
it's
Sue Thomas? I want to talk to her.
This jacket is
no, we,
bright.
We get a fair amount of interaction in our YouTube live chat, but I would say that a good 65% of it, 70% of it, is everyone at sharing their hype for Sue's News.
No,
everyone
no.
loves Sue's News.
Well, it's a great.
I mean,
segment.
We came
it
here
is.
For Sue.
Yeah. There you go. Evan, that's a good point. I did mention that. All right, thank you so much. We love you, and we'll see you later in the week. How does that sound? We got a little. Can you hear him? He's kind of like. I think he's eating his own hand at this point, right?
No, he's eating your son's hand.
He's eating my hand.
Oh, there he is. All right, there you go. Idris Reardon is in the house. We got to take a break. We got Michael Goodwin from the New York Post that's going to join us on Trump's first 100 hours in office, not the first 100 days. Congressman Bob Onder joining at 525. He went down to Mar-a-Lago. He's going to talk about tariffs and income tax issues. We have audio cut of the day and a whole lot more coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.